Welcome to Clear Text. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
We have a packed show today. Supply chain poisoning at a scale we haven't seen before, Chinese APTs hiding in your Microsoft stack, an FBI warning about a new phishing platform eating M365 tokens for breakfast, a perfect 10 Cisco vulnerability, and some important developments on the policy front with CISA funding and the delayed AI executive order. Let's start where Jordan wants to start.
Yeah, let's start with the supply chain story, because this one should be setting off alarms. A threat group called Team PCP ran what researchers are calling the Megalodon campaign. In a six-hour window, they pushed 5,718 malicious commits across 5,561 GitHub repositories. Throwaway accounts, forged author identities, injected GitHub Actions workflows with Base64 encoded payloads designed to exfiltrate CI/CD secrets. This isn't a theoretical risk anymore. This is industrial-scale poisoning of the open-source ecosystem.
And this isn't happening in isolation. The related story is the NX console VS Code extension compromise. A threat actor posed as a legitimate NX maintainer published a Trojanized extension through the official Visual Studio marketplace. Grafana Labs confirmed their GitHub environment was breached through the connected TanStack NPM supply chain attack. To their credit, Grafana refused extortion demands and hardened their posture. But the attack chain here is what matters. You go from a compromised developer identity to a malicious IDE plugin to enterprise source code repositories. That's three hops from a single identity compromise to crown jewels.
What I want CISOs to internalize is that your IDE plugin ecosystem is now an attack surface that requires governance. How many of your developers are installing VS Code extensions without any review process? How many of those extensions have published permissions that nobody's auditing? This isn't a developer productivity conversation anymore. It's an enterprise security conversation.
And on the CI/CD side, if you're not monitoring for anomalous commits, if you're not validating the provenance of your GitHub Actions workflows, if you're not treating your build pipeline with the same rigor as your production environment, you are exposed to exactly this kind of campaign. The scale of Megalodon should be a forcing function for reassessing your software supply chain controls this quarter.
Shifting to the geopolitical landscape. China's Webworm APT is running campaigns against European government networks, and the tradecraft is notable. They're using Discord and Microsoft Graph API as command and control channels, plus SoftEther VPN for SOX proxy tunneling between victims and infrastructure.
This is the maturation of a trend we've been tracking for 2 years. Nation-state actors are living inside your trusted enterprise platforms. When your C2 traffic is flowing through Microsoft Graph API, your domain reputation-based detection is useless. Your firewall sees legitimate Microsoft traffic. Your proxy sees legitimate Discord traffic. The signal is buried in the noise of normal business operations.
Exactly. And this isn't just a government problem. If you're a defense contractor, a critical infrastructure operator, a multinational with EU operations, you are in the target set. The detection challenge here requires behavioral analytics at the application layer. You need to understand what normal Graph API usage looks like for your environment and alert on deviations. Static signatures won't catch this.
The Belarus-linked Ghostwriter campaign targeting Ukrainian officials with fake training certificates is worth a brief mention here because it reinforces a complementary point. These are credential harvesting campaigns using trusted brand impersonation through a popular online learning platform. The tactical lesson for enterprise defenders is that your security awareness training needs to account for the fact that attackers are now impersonating the very platforms your employees use for professional development. The trust exploitation is getting more creative.
Now there's a piece of good news on the offensive infrastructure front. Europol took down FirstVPN, arrested its administrator, seized servers and domains. This is significant because Europol said this service appeared in nearly every major recent cybercrime investigation, used by approximately 24 ransomware gangs. And here's the detail I want people to notice. Europol stated they notified the service's users that they've been identified.
That's the real story. The takedown disrupts infrastructure, but the identification of users creates a chilling effect and likely leads to follow-on arrests. For enterprise security teams, the practical implication is to watch for infrastructure migration patterns over the next 30 to 60 days. When you knock out a service this central to the ransomware ecosystem, threat actors scatter and reconstitute. Your threat intel feed should be tuned for new VPN services, new proxy networks, new infrastructure patterns emerging from this disruption.
Let's talk about the FBI warning on Kali 365. This is a phishing as a service platform first observed in April, distributed via Telegram, and it captures Microsoft 365 OAuth tokens. It bypasses MFA without stealing passwords. Let me say that again. It bypasses MFA without credential theft by capturing the OAuth token itself.
This is the threat model that keeps M365-dependent enterprises up at night, and that's most enterprises. Kali 365 provides AI-generated phishing lures, automated campaign templates, real-time tracking dashboards, and OAuth token capture, all packaged for less technical attackers. The democratization of this capability is what makes it dangerous. You don't need to be sophisticated to run a sophisticated attack anymore.
The defensive response here has to go beyond MFA. You need conditional access policies that evaluate device compliance, network location, and risk signals before granting token access. You need token binding where possible. You need to monitor for anomalous token usage patterns, sessions originating from unexpected geolocations, tokens being used across multiple IP addresses. If your M365 security posture is still anchored primarily on MFA as the control, this platform is specifically designed to defeat you.
The German hospital breach through Unimed, their billing services provider, is a story we've seen variants of 100 times, but it keeps happening because the underlying problem isn't solved. A single third-party billing provider gets breached, and patient and financial data from multiple hospitals is compromised simultaneously. If you're in healthcare or any regulated industry with concentrated vendor dependencies, your third-party risk management program needs to account for this aggregation risk. It's not just about whether your vendor is secure. It's about what happens when the vendor that serves you and your 20 peers get compromised all at once.
Let's hit the Cisco vulnerability quickly, because this one demands action. CVE-2026-20223, CVSS 10.0, maximum severity. Unauthenticated remote access to sensitive data via insufficient REST API validation in Cisco Secure Workload. This is your micro-segmentation platform. This is deployed in data center environments, handling workload telemetry and policy data. If you're running Cisco Secure Workload, this is an emergency patching cycle. No confirmed active exploitation yet, but a CVSS 10 with unauthenticated remote access does not stay unexploited for long.
Agreed. Don't wait for the weekend. Get your teams on this today.
On the policy front, two stories that are connected by a common thread. First, bipartisan pushback on CISA budget cuts. Reps Don Bacon, Republican from Nebraska, and James Walkinshaw, Democrat from Virginia, both saying the cuts have gone too far. They're citing growing threats from China at a moment when CISA's capacity has been diminished. State officials are simultaneously urging Congress to renew cyber grant programs because local governments simply lack resources to counter advanced threats.
I've been saying this for months. The public-private threat intelligence sharing that CISA enables is infrastructure that enterprises depend on, whether they realize it or not. When CISA's capacity is reduced, the information sharing degrades, the incident response support degrades, and the coordinated vulnerability disclosure process slows down. This isn't abstract. It affects your ability to get timely, actionable intelligence on the exact kind of threats we've discussed today.
And the second policy story. The White House postponed the DAI security executive order with no new timeline. The draft would have required NSA, Treasury, and other agencies to evaluate new AI models for cybersecurity and national security concerns within 90 days.
For CISO, those who've been building AI governance frameworks in anticipation of federal guidance, this delay creates real uncertainty. My advice? Don't wait. Build your framework based on NIST AI risk management guidance and the EU AI Act requirements if you have European operations. You can always adjust when federal guidance eventually lands, but you can't afford to have ungoverned AI deployments while you wait for Washington to make up its mind.
Looking at the week in aggregate, Alex, there's a theme that's impossible to ignore. The trust boundary is dissolving. Attackers are inside your IDE extensions, inside your Microsoft Graph API traffic, inside your CI/CD pipelines, inside your OAuth token flows. Every layer of implicit trust in the enterprise stack is being weaponized.
That's exactly right. And the response can't be to add another point product for each attack vector. The response has to be architectural. Zero trust isn't a marketing term. It's the recognition that you need to verify continuously at every layer, from developer toolchains to production workloads to identity tokens. If this week's stories don't validate that strategic direction for your board, I don't know what will.
And on a practical level, this weekend, check your Cisco Secure Workload patching status, review your VS Code extension governance, make sure your M365 conditional access policies account for token theft scenarios, and have a conversation Monday morning about what your CI/CD pipeline monitoring actually looks like. That's a full plate, but it's where the threats are.
That's our show for today. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Stay sharp.